mostly around the New Testament. Matter of fact, I think all around the New Testament this evening. And as you know, I'm not really that much of a preacher. I teach a lot. It's what I like preaching, and I teach hard, I guess you'd say. And but I like to teach people things and teach people the Bible, and that's kind of what I'm made to do. But and so tonight I'm not really going to, I don't think I'll teach hardly anyone in here anything new. And that's very rare. But I will not teach you probably anything you don't know. Most of you will know everything I'll say tonight. It's totally just a reminder, and why the Lord has that, I don't know. Just it's what he has for tonight. And so the title is Do Not Get Tired in Doing Right. Do not get tired in doing right. Galatians 6, and some pretty familiar passages. Verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let's pray, and we'll talk about this a little bit. Lord, we need your Spirit to speak to us. We need you to show us your way of thinking on this. Lord, I find, like most things in the Bible, the devil makes us get out of balance one way or another. And I pray that we would see your balance in this, and I pray that your Spirit would speak to us, and I pray that we would understand, and that we'd be encouraged, Lord, and to do what we ought to do and continue, and to do right continuously, and to be strong, and to really become stable, long-term, burden-bearing Christians. Father, help us to be wise enough to do this, and know how your word says to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, it's interesting. You start off with, if any man be overtaken in a fault. So if you see somebody who's overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. It's interesting. What people who think they're spiritual do is they say, look at them. I can't believe that. I'm glad I'm not like them. I am so spiritual, and I don't do those kind of things. You're not spiritual in order to notice who's unspiritual. You do not have the gift. Nobody has a gift of condemnation. And so, or the gift of pointing, and nobody has those gifts. And ye who are spiritual, it's like somebody laying there and a log's on top of them, and somebody's trying to lift the log off, and there's this big, huge, buff guy, and he's sitting there going, man, what a wimp. I could lift that log off. You're pathetic. You can't even lift that. I could lift. Well, you're strong for a reason, dummy, brethren. And so... It says, ye who are spiritual, you restore such a one. I said before, if you aren't spiritual, if you aren't strong enough to lift somebody else, one of the reasons to be strong is so you can help people. Not so you can brag about how spiritual you are, so you can feel good about yourself. Most people want to be spiritual to feel good about themselves. And they get spiritual and they feel good about themselves, and then their pride makes them fall. They don't stay spiritual very long. You are not spiritual in order to feel good about yourself or people so people can look up to you or anything else. You're spiritual simply to lift people, to have the power of God on you to make a difference in people's lives. And so if you get strong, now here's the thing, in order to get strong, you are going to get battered by Satan. And you are fighting in this war, and you're getting strong, and you're having victory, and you're attacking Satan, and you're on the offense, and you're doing great things for God. And so you in yourself are in a war and a target of Satan, but now that you're spiritual, you are supposed to lift people who are weak. But you're already tired. You've already been in the battle, but you're strong enough still, and you do that. Then the next verse, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So now you're lifting people, and you're bearing other people's burdens. And that's a lot of weight. A good Paul, when he talks about all that he'd been through and all of his burdens, and then he says, and beside all this, talking about his suffering in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe, all his pain and all his heartache and all his sorrow, he says, and beside all this, the care of all the churches comes upon me. I've got a lot on me, he says. And that's normal for godly people. God needs godly people so they get a lot on them. There is a massive shortage of godly people, so the godly people have more than they can shake a stick at to do. You're like the doctor in a, you're the only doctor in a city of 100,000. That's what spiritual Christians in America become, because there's not very many really spiritual Christians. They don't even know what spiritual is anymore, and there's just a lot of confusion there. So the ones who are godly have a lot to do, and they're going to carry a lot of burdens there. And so you fulfill one of those burdens. And so it's interesting. Verse 4 talks about don't take pride in somebody else's spirituality. Every man bears his own burden. You become spiritual in yourself. So don't rejoice because somebody else is spiritual. Make sure you're spiritual and say, hey, I'm serving God here. I'm strong enough to lift somebody. And not say, I go to a spiritual church, so that's good. Or my spouse is spiritual, or my church is spiritual, or my pastor is spiritual. That's not good enough. Every man bears his own burden. Every man stands alone. Every woman stands alone. Every one of us has got to be strong by ourselves and be something, whether nobody else is something and whether you're all alone. It doesn't matter. Every man bears his own burden. Every man stands alone. And we've all got to do that. And so we've got to do the right things and make all those difference. And so all the difference in people's lives. So then he says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That means you're working again. You're sowing, you're planting. And then he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's not be weary in well-doing. I'll keep your finger there, but let me go to 2 Thessalonians. That's a little farther back in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians. Don't be tired in doing right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll just give you one other verse where it says this, but you can see it says it more than once. Verse 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So the God's warning us, you can become tired of doing right. This is just a reminder. Don't get tired of doing right. Many of you, here's what you did. You work today. You're busy. Doesn't matter if you're working at home or working out at wherever. You're busy. You're running around. Life's got, you got to pay the bills. You got to do everything. Got a million things going. Sometimes we're so busy we have to figure out when to eat and everything else. And you're busy, busy, busy. And you go to work tomorrow. And then, because you're spiritual, you came to church tonight on Thursday night. And then a lot of you, strangely enough, a lot of our people who are the most spiritual, you core people who come in the middle of the week, you, for some strange reason, many of you live farther than the people who come on Sunday mornings. How many of you drove more than 20 minutes to church tonight? Raise your hand. That's a lot of people. How many drove more than 30? Hey, it's and then you'll get done at church. I'll preach to it who knows how long, and I'll preach, and so and then you'll hang around for a while. You'll fellowship and all that stuff. Then you go home, and then you get up in the morning and start all over again. Now, I want to say is, if you're spiritually refreshed, you have a lot more energy during the day. When you're away from God, you're drained. Being unspiritual is draining. You just sag when you're away from God. Just what you do when you're close to God. You know, God renews your strength and you're refreshed. But you're still busy and tired, and it's biblical and it's normal. And so we get tired. You know, the strange thing is most churches quit biblical witnessing and trying to win the world to Christ. And so just a few churches now, I mean, just a limited number of churches now are really involved in the evangelism thing. A lot of them talk about it. A lot of them have, you know, it's in their church constitution somewhere. But as far as doing it, very few churches, very few Christians. So those of us who still do it, we've got more people to witness to than we can possibly do. We have a lot to do. I go out witnessing and I go meet people, and people come to church and they're just messed up and they're too weak to make it faithfully, and they're just bogged down in sin, and their house and their home's a mess and they're disasters. They need someone to spend time with them, to disciple them, someone to teach them how to get rid of their addiction. I mean, there's a thousand things to do out there. If you don't know there's people everywhere who need help, your eyes are blind. You aren't looking around very much. And there's a lot to do. And so you got to take care of your own stuff. I have a big family. I have to take care of my family. You have to take care of your family. We got to work, got to pay our bills, got to spend our time with our family. All these things are good and important, and we have to do these things. And then we add on all the spiritual things, and we're busy. But I want to say, don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing right, even when if you get tired, even if you get kind of run down. Why? Just a few things. Number one, you will reap good at the right time. Back in Galatians 6, you'll reap good at the right time. See, there's this energy that comes when you first start serving God. There's kind of two phases of it. First, you get saved and you find out the truth, and God just infuses grace and it's all new, and you're just, yeah, let's go get him. But that wears off. It lasts, I'd say an average that lasts a year. Sometimes 6 months, sometimes two years. But you get that. And sometimes you get a kind of second phase of that when you start getting involved in ministry and God starts using you and you get this kind of a spiritual adrenaline, this grace that God gives you to make it. But then that wears off in a very high percentage of Christians, especially those in an emotion-based church, can keep on doing right for long when it's drudgery. And I want to tell you, the work of God is sometimes drudgery. Sometimes it's plowing. Everybody likes reaping, but plowing comes before the reaping. Reaping's fun. Picking the crops is refreshing. Planting the seeds and pulling weeds, you better be thinking to due season. Or are you going to say, you know what? I have not got a single thing from this field. I'm following this mule, stepping in stuff, and planting and pulling weeds, and nothing's happening. If you want to feel it, feel it in the Bible for me. That's secular thinking that people have plugged into Christianity. Not in the Bible. Read Psalms, read the burdens they carried. It's amazing how many happy Psalms people read. Do you know, I would guess that more than half the Psalms are not happy. Okay, read Psalms in the 40s. And I'm saying the Christian life's awesome. It's the abundant life. But it's not for wimps who can't keep going when they're tired, when they're weary, when there's no seeming reward. First of all, in due season you will reap. At the right time, you're going to get blessed. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. But it does say here, in due season. It does not say what due season is. It doesn't say a month, a year, 6 months, 20 years. It doesn't say. Because due season is different for everybody's ministry. William Carey, 7 years. Okay? Our church, 8 years. Before we started reaping it all. And unless you really have the right motives, in this instant society where we say, I pushed the button, why hasn't anything happened yet? That's the way we live. Why does this thing take so long to turn on? In that society we live in, to do right and, all right, I did something. God, where's the blessing? God says, due season. You did it 5 minutes ago. Relax. But we're not in due season. Could be heaven. You don't know. And so you've got to realize in time, if you do right, you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. We're not used to that system. Nobody's business, you never go to work, and the boss says, come to work, I'll pay you at some point. And I'm not going to tell you I'm going to pay you. Now, if you trusted the guy a whole bunch, he says, you know what, I'll really pay you well. I'm not going to tell you when or how much, but you'll be surprised. If you trust the guy, you could live with that. But that's what we're doing with God. God says, I have not seen nor ear heard that thing just got to prepare for them that love him. He says, Romans 8:18, he says, if I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. You've got to believe and you've got to trust God, because you do not know how much you're getting paid or what you're getting paid or when you're getting paid or how he pays you. It might be blessings on earth. It might be blessings in heaven. It might be great rewards. It might be all kinds of things. We don't know. And it's all kinds of things in the Bible. But you got to realize you will reap at the right time if you do right. Next, why not be weary? Because it's a sure reward. Let me take you to Proverbs 11. That's wrong. I've got something in the Old Testament. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 18. It says this, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. It's something that's going to happen. You're going to be blessed if you keep going. Next, you'll be blessed even if people do not see it or bless you. You will be blessed even if people do not see it or bless you. This is a hard one for people. Luke 14. I'll probably talk a little bit about this on Sunday night. I am not a good acknowledger of people. And I mean by that is I am not a good pat on the back, or I'm not a good saying, oh, it's, you did a great job. I'm not good at thanking all the time. I am so focused. If something got done, if I said, can you back in the floor? I look and say, good, floor is done, and I move my next thing. I'm kind of like that. And so I don't always acknowledge everything that anybody does. And there are people who are very needy of that. Now, I learned as a young Christian, I just had to do it for God, because people don't always recognize what you do good. And so, to me, it's not a big need. And so, usually, people don't do things for God. They usually, you know, say, well, nobody notices what I do. And if that's why you're doing it, then you probably, you know, got to get your motives right. Okay, you do it for God, whether anybody sees it or not. And if you have to be acknowledged and thanked and patted on the back, and it's good if people do that, and we should do that to people. Honor to whom honor is due. And Paul thanked people, and I think it's good, and I work on it, and it's biblical. But I'm saying this, if you want to be... not be worrying while doing, you got to have some motive higher than people noticing. Because people don't always notice. And the worst thing is, some people, when you do right, misunderstand why you did it and think you did wrong. That's even worse. You go and you try to do the right thing, finally, you've done it 30 times wrong in the situation, and then you go do it right, finally, and they say, what, you're trying to show you're better than me? Because people misunderstand things. And so, give me some verses on this. Luke 14, and I'll just give you a couple of verses on this. But Luke 14, verse 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Help needy people who can't do anything back for you, because God will recompense you, because they won't. That's what God says. Matthew 6:6, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Don't do your alms to be seen of men, Matthew 6:4. And all these verses says, hey, don't do it to be seen of men. God will reward you privately, so don't worry about who notices publicly. You give to God, you pray, you do it, you fast. When you fast, anoint your skin and take care of yourself so no one knows you're fasting, because you want your Father to see. Don't give your reward away. And so, you know, you can, you know, you don't lie if somebody asks you, but you see that, but you will be blessed even if people do not see it. That's why you keep on doing right, because people aren't going to always acknowledge it, and people will quit doing right when they're not appreciated. Don't do right to be appreciated. It's a wonderful bonus. But if I ask, how many of you, your boss doesn't always notice when you do a good job, he only notices when you do a bad job. But you know what? God isn't like that. God's perfect. He says, you can't even get a cup of cold water out where I won't notice it. Yeah, I notice everything. So you're fine. Just keep on doing right. I know you feel like nobody notices the right you're doing. Keep on doing right. I do. I got every tear in a bottle. I know everything. I got records. And God does that. Next, don't be weary in well-doing, but it takes patience. Let's go to Romans 2. It takes patience. Romans 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. By patient continuance in well-doing. You just keep on doing right and keep on doing right. Well, I've been blessed for it. Not yet. Just keep on doing right. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing right. You just do the right thing. It takes patience. Next, you must believe in God being a rewarder as he says he is. Hebrews 11:6 is a well-known verse. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You must believe that God is going to truly reward you, even if you can't see it right in front of you. Look at Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 10. These are great verses that will say a lot of what I just said in those points. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So keep on being bold, and there's great reward in it. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promises. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But the people who just start with, rah, I'm excited, I'm going to go. And then where are they in 2 years? Patient continuance. After you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. Now the problem is, it's funny in the Bible, I never preach on this. It's a funny thing, is God does not have human timescales. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so, you know, God says, I'm coming quickly. You know, I mean, he doesn't see time like we do. And so, God says, you know, when is time? In the end, I'm going to come and straighten everything out and bring all the rewards for everybody. But you got to believe in the reward that God's going to reward you. Let's go to Colossians. Let me take this to your job situation. You go to work and you do a good job. And because you're not a drinking buddy with them, you don't get the... It's a little harder for you at work. I've had that. You don't get the promotion because you're not sitting in the break room with them talking about the things they talk about. Your boss seems to only notice and look when you do something wrong. Okay? These things happen. And the Bible says, don't worry about it. You just keep doing right. Don't get discouraged. See, what happens is when we can't please a human, what we usually do is throw up our hands and say, I'm going to quit trying then, fine. That's what we do, whether it's with our parents, it's with our boss, it's with our relatives, it's with our husband. Doesn't matter. I try, and they never even care. They never notice it. Why should I try? Because you have something higher that makes you keep doing right. Colossians 3. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You don't serve your boss. Now it does say, please your masters in all things, but you're not doing it for your boss, you're doing it for Jesus. Your boss doesn't understand. It's okay. Jesus did. He saw what you did. He saw what was in darkness. He saw what nobody saw. He saw you doing a little detail right. He knows it wasn't your fault. And you keep on doing right at work if nobody notices it. You keep on doing right because you're doing it for God. You do it heartily as to the Lord. And you keep on doing it because of the Lord you'll receive the reward, not because of man. Listen, if you have not worked very long in very many places, if you do not realize, not always the best person gets a promotion. But you know what? The right person always gets a promotion in heaven. And you just had to say, I'm going to keep doing right, even if my boss never notices, never get a raise, never get a promotion. You know what? I might need to get another job. That's fine. But I'm serving God here. God put me here. I'm going to do a great job for you, Lord. These guys don't even know it. But you know what? I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's, doing my job right, and you'll see it. Why? You have a higher motive. You are going to do right if nobody notices. If nobody says, good job. Nobody says, you're the best ever. You're still doing it. Why? Because you're doing it for higher reasons, and that's how you keep on doing it. That's how you keep on doing it. We become so shallow where we even go to church and somebody has to say, good job, I'm glad you're here. How about go to church for Jesus? Isn't that a novel idea? How about if everybody frowns you at church and says, you're here again? Well, Jesus told you to come anyway. You keep on going. What if the preacher preaches just at you? Today we're preaching on Jeremy's sins. Now, we don't have time for that. But when we, you know what? If I did that, Jeremy should be back at church Sunday morning. It's guns for Jesus. And I'd have a big crowd to say, whose sins are you going to preach on this week? And then he's sitting back and run out if I did them. How many want to hear me preach on somebody's sins? Never mind, you don't want to because you're afraid you'd be the one. But you know what? You do it for Jesus. You do it for Jesus. That makes you not quit when the going gets tough, when it's boring, when it's not fun anymore. You got to keep on going. When you got to keep on doing right. I remember the closest I ever got to quitting the ministry here, and it wasn't that close, but I was pretty down. I remember nobody was coming to church, and I was, of course, working at midnight, and I was tired, and I lived down in Edgewood, and I would get off work, and I'd go home and sleep for a few hours, and then I'd wake up, and then I'd grab some tracks and drive back up here. I worked up in near Seattle, and drive down all the way back home, and I'd go and sleep for a few hours. I'd come back up here. I was working, 40 hours a week at night, and then I worked, during the day to the church. And I remember I would just go out, and if anybody came to church, there was maybe me and my family, and my wife would take the babies because they were all three little ones, 3, 2, and 1, and so they couldn't really be in service. So pretty much in the service, if it'd be one or two people and me, and it's uncomfortable. You know how people sing when there's two or three people? Nobody ever wants to be heard. Well... And I would lead singing a cappella, and I would, and they'd come, and they would, and I'd preach my heart out and preach, but I knew by how uncomfortable they weren't coming back. I just knew it. And we'd have Sunday after Sunday, nobody come to church. We'd set up the whole church, and we'd do Sunday school and church and Sunday night, and we'd preach and do everything. My wife would be there, and she was a trooper, but she was discouraged. And then I'd go to work again Sunday night. And I remember a guy just drove back up here to go witness. And again, I remember exact parking lot I was in right there in downtown Des Moines. And I think I looked discouraged because everyone almost looked at me pathetically. I was exhausted for one thing. I was just run down. I was just tired. But I went and I'd go 4 or 5 days a week, go witnessing, go door knocking, talking to people, trying to get somebody. And I knew if they came, they weren't going to like it. And I had no hope. But there I'd go. I'm Joel, and the pastor of Open Door Baptist Church, and we're a new church in the area, and hoping like to give an invitation to come to church. You go to church anywhere? And I talked to them. Here one day, and I remember I got in my car. I was just drained. I was just tired. You ever park your car and you're like, I gotta get out of this thing. Car was warm, outside was cold, and I was just exhausted. And I laid my head back and I said, nobody's gonna come. If they come, they're not gonna like it. Why am I doing this? And I just got kind of, the devil just comes right when you're discouraged and just said, you are wasting your effort. You know nobody's coming. And he's right. That's what, don't you hate when the devil tells you something, he's right? And he was right. And I laid my head back there and I was so discouraged. And I thought, I don't know how can you grow when nobody comes and anybody who comes doesn't want to come back? How are we ever going to grow? I didn't know. And I thought, you know what? I've got to give God something to bless, some labor. Got into my car, felt like I was wasting my time except for I was working for God. I thought my efforts, what I was doing, probably true, those efforts weren't going to produce anything, but the faithfulness was. I was planting seeds for 8 years later when people started coming. Okay? And you've got to just say, I've got to do this for God, even if I don't see it's rewarding me, because I believe God's a rewarder. He says he is. Moses, why am I doing this? These people don't like me anyway. They keep going back to idolatry. You just keep on going when you don't see the fruit. Because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Being weary in the ministry is not, as a dedicated Christian and someone busy for God, is not unusual. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. It's pretty normal. But most Christians don't have the ability to wait for the reward and to keep on going when they don't feel it. And they think, we're so messed up doctrinally. Somebody thinks they don't feel it, God must have left them. And sometimes they're saying, I feel like I'm doing right, but God just isn't in this. No, you don't always feel it. Sometimes it's cloudy and you don't feel it anymore. It's your emotions. It's not the spirit. God told you what to do. You do what God tells you what to do until he tells you otherwise. You just stay faithful. A faithful man shall abound in blessing. You just sometimes have to, hey, Jesus didn't feel it in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it's possible, take this from me. And so you gotta be willing to just keep on going when it's tough, when you don't feel it, and you gotta be not weary and well doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27, Paul gives a big list of all his suffering. You know, verse 25, I was beaten with rods and stone and shipwrecked and everything else. In verse 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and in thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without. This is 2 Corinthians 11:28. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? He didn't always feel it. He says, weariness. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? But what did he do? Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on doing right. Reaping's fun when you get there. You just don't know when it is. 2 Corinthians 2, it's nothing unusual in the slightest to be tired when you're doing what God wants you to. You're in a war, you're getting attacked, you got a million things going on, and life's keeping you busy, and you just got to keep on going. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. Titus was supposed to meet up with Timothy, and Titus didn't show up, and Paul, his spirit just had no rest in it because he was so worried about Titus. Chapter 7, I'm just showing you it's not that abnormal to be weary. Verse 5, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, the comfort of those that are cast down. Notice that you got to get cast down to get the comfort. If you're cast down, does not mean God threw you down and he hates you. Just life casts you down, but God comforts you. And we're comforted by the coming of Titus. Remember what made him not rest in his spirit? Titus not being there. Titus showed up when they were cast down. God will always come through for you in time. And then let me take you to Mark chapter 6. Watch Jesus and watch his weariness. Just don't get weary in well-doing. I know you're tired. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you're just like, man, why am I doing this? It doesn't seem to get blessed. Mark chapter 6. And I preach in this. I won't belabor it. But verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart in the desert place and rest for a while, for there are many comings and goings, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and they knew them. They ran afoot thither, for all the cities now went them and came together unto him. This is the story where Jesus, they're exhausted, and they go out and try to get away, and the crowds follow them, and they don't have food, and they have to feed the 5,000 after they're already tired. They're already exhausted, and that's, they say, I got to get away from these people. They're wore me out. Not even had time to eat. And then they run away into the wilderness, and the people find him, and they got to feed him for the rest of the day. They were weary, and they got more weary. And that's, the world's run by tired people. So I want to say this. Whatever you have to do right now, whatever God's purpose in this message is, I don't know what's going on with you. Whatever it is, you just give God something to bless. Just keep on doing right. You say, I can apply for all those jobs. I'm never going to get a job, but I keep applying for jobs. You got to do the right thing. God has nothing to reward if you don't work and labor. My spouse is never going to change, but you keep on doing right because you're trying to impress God. And God will maybe change them because he's blessing you for you did right. Keep on witnessing. I don't think anybody's going to get saved. That's all right. I don't witness to see people saved. I witness to obey. God commands it. Nobody gets saved. I still please God. Keep praying for revival if you don't believe revival is going to happen to America. Boy, that one. Keep praying for revival. Amen. If you don't believe it's going to happen. Because you want to give God's. And by the way, God can bring revival tomorrow if he wants to. Nothing's impossible with God. Keep on working hard and doing a good job at work, though your boss might never notice it. All of a sudden, guess what happens? I've seen those hard workers who their company was just a junky company to work for and never noticed anything. And all of a sudden, that person who worked hard and did the right thing, a friend said, you know, you're a hard worker. We got an opening at our place, and I bet our boss would give you this job. And a better job comes along. Though they said, I don't see how it's going to work out. My boss is never going to give me a raise. His family gets all the promotions. Okay. But your father owns a lot of businesses. Psalm 75, promotion cometh from the Lord. Do not be tired. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't quit. But we've got people who have to have the reward right in front of them and have to be patted in the back and see the blessing and can't just plow and plow and plow. Say, God, you see, I'm plowing. I'm going to keep on doing right. I'm tired. But I'm going to keep on doing. Give me my spirit some refreshing. In due season you reap, and God refreshes your spirit and blesses you, and you feel pretty good. It took us 8 years to get a core together for church. People don't keep going. Pastors don't anymore if they don't have the numbers. They want the reward right then. Okay? But I wasn't here, and I'm still not here for a crowd. If we have 20 people show up Sunday, I'll let it rip just like I did last Sunday. Okay? Because I'm not preaching for you. I'm his messenger. Whatever. People aren't always going to pat you on the back when you preach the word of God. They might kick you somewhere, but they won't pat you in the back. You don't do what you do for man. Don't be tired. I know you're tired. Worrying's normal, but keep doing right. 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 And don't be weary, because in due season, if you'll keep doing right, you'll reap. Quit, crops don't grow up. Weeds choke them out. Let's pray. Father, help us to keep doing right, Lord. It's kind of a simple message, Lord. I pray that we would not be weary in well-doing. May we give you something to bless where you have to keep your word and you have to reward us. After we have continual patience in well-doing. Lord, I think all of us feel it sometimes that nobody sees it and it's, well, that's a lot of wasted effort. That was spinning the wheels. But Lord, help us to realize we're not doing it for the acknowledgement or for what's there quickly. I pray we do what we do for you, as your word says. May we not be this temporary emotion-based needy people that have to have someone praise them to keep doing us right. Help us to do right when we don't feel it. Help us to please you in all things. Because we love you. The reward is part of it, Lord. You said that. But even above that, may we do it because we love you and you gave us something to do. May we do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. And then may we receive the grace to make it until we get the reward. Lord, we need your strength in these things. We pray we do so. Help us to keep on doing right. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Now, I don't know why the message tonight.